T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Welcome back, everybody. It is our 8 o'clock hour. We're going to talk later about a Flyers goal. It's the opposite of what we've been talking about. JVR out last night. Scored a goal off his face.
It's unbelievable.
Came back in and won the game with a deflected goal.
Does the goal? Does his face get an assist?
Yeah. And he apparently will not take the next day off. I don't know. But anyway, on a line with us is a guy, when he was the coach here, never took a day off. Mm-hmm. He is an icon in this town, and one of the great honors I get to do this job is to speak to this man, the iconic, the incredible Mr. Dick Vermeil. Hi, Dick.
Good morning.
Dick, I got a lot of ground to cover today. I can't believe after all these years I've done this show, I have a coach who is telling me his team could not win a game last night because they had played the night before and they were tired. Dick, it wasn't like this when you were coaching. What's going on with sports? What's going on? Help me out here.
I think we're getting to the point we feel too sorry for the people we're paying all the money to perform. You know, if they're not gonna play the best the next day real well or with your best players, you better lower the price of that ticket.
I don't understand why they think they can't do it in the era when you coach, even your most recent coaching stint. You were not worried about the workload of your players, were you, Dick?
No, I was not. I think there were times, though, I did overwork them.
Okay.
So I learned a lesson that way, yes.
All right, but you, let's go back to when you were a coach here, because ultimately you took on too big a workload, right? What was a normal day like in a football season for Dick Vermeil? How many hours did you put in?
Well, you know, I don't know. It got worse as I went along.
You know,
and got more stupid and it took longer to make decisions. You know, sometimes when you work real hard, real long periods of time, it's because you're putting off making a decision. And I did some of that and quite a bit of it toward the end of my career here. But it was long. You know, I would we'd sleep in the office. And a lot of my staff slept in the office or the hotel across the street. But I didn't do that when I came back. And it was better. I was a better coach by not doing it, at least emotionally, and that. And I think I was more alert. But when you're young, you think you're unbeatable. You know, no matter what you do, you can do it. And we would work all the way into 3 and 4 in the morning. Wow. And every once in a while, you'd set a record and go longer than that. But it was stupid. You know, it really was.
Well, here's the thing, Nick. This is one of the reasons we wanted to get you on, because when you were here, you're right around the age that Nick Sirianni is now. And and I'm just wondering, I don't know if you heard what happened the other day at the news conference. Let me just play for you what he did, because he's trying to gauge the competitiveness of his draft players, the people that he's bringing in. But he's doing it without being able to be face-to-face with them because of this pandemic. And here's one of the ways that he's trying to gauge their competitiveness.
I played a couple of them at rock, paper, scissors, right? That was as easy as that. Rock, paper, scissors. Let's see how competitive you are. I'm competitive. I'm going to be talking trash to him. Did you talk trash back to me, right?
Dick, what do you think of that?
Different. Very different. You know, I don't know. I just always felt you could really evaluate the competitiveness of a player by watching him on film. At that time, it was film and not video, and that film was harder to obtain, and workouts were harder to organize for players. But I wasn't advanced enough to get into those kind of psychological things.
Hey, Dick, but Here's a guy in his 30s, starting out in the NFL, first job in Philadelphia, just like you. Give him some advice. Tell him what you would, if you had him in front of you right now, what would you say as somebody who is in exactly his position?
Be yourself, number one. Be who you are. Don't try to kid anybody. Don't read the paper during the season. Don't listen to the radio talk shows. John, I'm not joking. John Wooden told me that when I became the head coach at UCLA, and I ingrained that in my mind, and that's how I operated, and it helped me. But I do think today, and you know this, the media coverage is far more intense and far more thorough than it used to be. You know, we had Stan Hockman, Gordon Forbes, these kind of guys, just wonderful human beings. And, they would get after you, I'm sure, but unfortunately for me, I didn't read it. I stayed away from it, and from time to time, a coach would come in and say, do you know what this guy said? Do you know what this guy said about you? Or you know what Ray Dittinger said? Or something like that. And, I said, well, geez, don't tell me. You know, because we all, none of us like criticism. But anyway, I just, that's the way I did. And the other thing I did, which I really think helped me, is every head coaching job I had a radio show myself on Monday night. And it was live. We did not screen questions, and we took the questions. And a lot of the questions were answered by me, not reinterpreted, not evaluated by a writer, and then expressed. And it made me develop, an honest relationship with the fans in the town, because they knew if they called me, I was going to give them an honest answer.
And that's the thing about Dick. When I think of you, I think you were yourself at all times. You showed your emotion. You hid nothing. You were honest with the fans. Why was that why did you know right away instinctively that's the way you had to conduct your business?
Well, I really didn't know that. That was just me. It's okay. Still me.
Right.
Okay. You know, you got to be yourself. And you can't pretend like you're going to be. My best friend was Bill Walsh. I couldn't be like Bill Walsh. You know, I couldn't be. I've liked it. Many times I've said to myself, boy, I'd like to be more like Bill Parcells. But I couldn't be. You have to be yourself. And your players really learn to trust you. You know, trust is not a physical thing. It's an emotional thing. It's a communication thing. And they gradually gain trust in you and what you say and how you say it, because they know it's honest and you're honest and it's coming from you. That's the way you think.
Right. We've got Thursday night. One of the big moments in every NFL season is the draft, Dick. Dick, in your experience as a head coach, how much input do you have? And often your GM was Carl Peterson. How much input did you have in who was selected?
Well, I had the final decision at the Eagles. I didn't do all the work. I studied all the work everybody else did and formed opinions, and I did a lot of work, too. At the Rams, I had the final decision, but I didn't do all the work. I evaluated all the work and listened to all my people and then made the final decision. At the Chiefs, Carl Peterson had the final decision, and there was only, I think, a couple times that we had a real conflict. I wanted to draft a defensive lineman because I thought we really needed one badly. And he drafted a running back, and it turns out he was right, because that year my starting running back, Priest Holmes, got hurt, and Larry Johnson stepped up and played extremely well. If we hadn't had him, we wouldn't have been as good a football team. So, you know, the big thing is to, however you do it, whatever philosophy is, you do it together. And that is just, you know, I think there's so many people involved today, it's harder to create an atmosphere where everybody is really working together. They drink a beer together. They go to work together. They work out together. They talk together, and they tell the truth to each other. And that's a little harder environment to develop today than it used to be.
How much faith did you have in the scouts, and were there certain scouts you had more faith in than others?
Oh, I always had, you know, for example, Jim, remember Jim Katkavich?
Oh, yeah.
When he told me a defensive lineman could play, he could play.
You knew immediately.
Charlie Johnson, all-pro nose tackle. We get him in the sixth, seventh round. We get Carl Harrison in eighth or ninth round, somewhere like that. And we drafted specifically because I turned to him and said, Jim, what do you think? These guys, he says, this guy can play, coach. Okay, so we had another coach of running backs who could do the same thing. Some scouts are better at certain positions than others, and they just cut to the quick, and they can define it quickly for you, and they can define exactly why they think that, and they have proved that to you for a long time. For a long time, but the overall teamwork in the room, it was just smooth and coordinated.
Dick, I'm really interested to know if you added the element that's in there today, which is this analytics department, and they would come to you after Jim Katkavich, and they would say, well, no, that defensive lineman is not that good because his first step is 0.7 instead of 0.5. Would that mean something to you? Would you incorporate that information, or would you still just trust the guy whose eyes have been good?
Well, first, it would depend on who gave me that information, okay, what kind of success ratio he's had in the past. But my first thought was, I don't think the guy lined up across from that defensive lineman gives a damn what is. If he's getting his butt kicked by this guy, he can play. That's my basic, simple thought.
All right. We have another element to what's going on now that I need your input on. The involvement of an owner in the process of drafting. In your experience, did owners get involved in the war room in decisions that were made on who was picked?
Only once in Kansas City. Lamar really wanted to draft the running back at the time with Carl. But I never had that situation. No. And I think I could have definitely worked with it because the owner would know everything about the player that I know about and what I think about the evaluation process of a specific player. You've got to be careful that you get competitive, who's right and who's wrong in these meeting rooms and draft situations. I've been in a lot of them, 19 of them, and you're competing to win, not competing to have the right decision, you know.
Right. Dick, you're a very intense guy. Let me give you a hypothetical, because you did have the final say on who was picked when you were with the Eagles. Leonard yes. Toews was the owner. You had a great relationship with Leonard. If Leonard had come to you, right, like when you were picking Mike Quick, and he said, no, you should pick Perry Tuttle, or whoever was available then, right? What would you have done? How would you have handled that?
I would have picked who I thought myself and my scouting department felt was right. Because, you know, no owner can invest the time and the hours. He's got too many serious responsibilities. Running the organization and being the figurehead of the organization. I've never had an owner do that, and I think I would have had a good enough relationship to be able to contradict his thoughts and go with my thoughts, and I think he would honor that.
Well, it's one of the reasons you're not only a great coach, Dick, but an iconic figure in this city. All these years later, you being yourself, you still – are so popular. Does it amaze you you're still this popular in this city, Dick?
Well, first off, I don't go around measuring my popularity.
Well, I can tell you. I talk to them every day. They love you.
Well, you know, first off, I'm grateful. I appreciate the respect shown to me, and I try to give it back to my community and my time to the community and to the fans and my loyalty to the Eagle organization. And, you know, Howie's a friend of mine. I don't evaluate him as a GM. I evaluate him as a friend and a fellow glass of wine drinker. Okay, so it's different when you are today. And again, you know this better than me. The whole evaluation process today is over the top, just over the top.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I did not know until this moment that Howie Roseman enjoys Vermeil wines. Go to vermeilwines.com. Because maybe if he has extra glass this year, he'll do better. How about that, Dick?
He'll do a great job. You just watch.
Dick, we love you, man. Thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it.
All right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.